Good evening, everyone. On the heels of this morning's lesson dealing with the problem of sin, this particular lesson, we are looking at the Old Testament by way of types and shadows, those things that were in place under the old law that would give a picture of what was to come. And as we think about that question, though, about the problem of sin and how the gospel did, in fact, deal with that particular problem, I'm reminded that in the time of Jeremiah, he makes this statement: were they ashamed when they had committed abomination, when they had committed sin? He says, no, they were not ashamed at all, neither could they blush. And I think that passage probably better than any expresses the sentiment that we so often feel when we look around us and see the world in its particular situation. Had we lived under the Old Testament law, our attitude towards sin might have been a little different. In fact, we might see it as God sees it. I want us to notice a couple of things, and as has just been read, in Romans chapter 7, we have this passage reminding us, and we looked at it this morning as well, about the old law. But ultimately, that law made an understanding of what sin was, the problem of sin, the result of sin, in order that, it says, that commandment, that sin might become exceeding sinful. In other words, that it might appear sinful to us, that we would understand exactly what it was. And so this particular lesson, we're going to look at Leviticus chapter 16. We're going to talk about a tale of two goats. And as I think about this particular lesson, Leviticus 16 is one of those passages, and you will find the phrase throughout the book of Leviticus, lest you die, numerous times. It is that serious, but it is that valuable to us to know what it is exactly that would cause God to say to His people, to those who were leading in His worship services, what was so important to God? Doing things according to His plan, His pattern that He had given them already. And so we open up in Leviticus 16 with this reminder. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. This was Nadab and Abihu. Excuse me. When they had offered strange or profane fire before the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering. And he shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body, and he shall be girded with a linen sash, with a linen turban, he shall be attired. These are the holy garments, and therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, to make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring of the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, to make atonement for himself and his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. More directions are given concerning that day, and we'll notice some of that. But notice these two goats in particular that are mentioned. One would be before the Lord, the other would be the scapegoat. Let's think about this. Let's look at the main characters that we have. We have the high priest. Aaron is the high priest. His sons, Nadab and Abihu, had previously served as part of that priesthood, but he himself was the high priest. And so it was upon him to put this particular clothing on, those holy garments that are mentioned in those passages, to consecrate his body with ceremonial cleansing, if you will, to wash there in the laver before the place of meeting, and then to don those clothing, that clothing on, and then go in and make these offerings. And so we have these offerings laid out for us. The high priest here held probably the highest, the most important position among the children of Israel. And part of that is because he represented the people by going before God in worship. And so he essentially is leading them in that worship. Keep your place there, maybe with a marker, and look over to Exodus 28 for just a moment. Exodus 28, verses 28 through 30. Part of what he would be wearing is found here in this passage. They shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod, using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod, so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart. And when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And so this is something that he would put on each time. And you can see it represented by those different jewels on that breastplate. Those 12 for the 12 children of Israel. And so you have, he'll have that on as he goes in as a memorial. He's leading and basically representing the people as he comes before God. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. And so in that chapter, you pick up a little bit of information, a little bit more information about what he's wearing as he is doing this holy service before the Lord on behalf of the people. He represented God also, though, going in before the people. And so we find that in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's turn over there for a moment. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subordinate, or subject rather, to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. And so while you have the Levitical priesthood, you have the order of Aaron under the Levitical priesthood. And so under the house of Levi, you'd have the house of Aaron. And those of the house of Aaron, those in his lineage, could serve in that capacity. In fact, there would be basically a calendar set up for those to serve in that fashion. And so he served as a go-between for the people and for God. He is leading them in worship, making those offerings and sacrifices for sins. But he is also representing God before the people. And so those are important things to think about. And so we have the high priest here. Worship being offered to God through this high priest. The congregation of Israel would bring those offerings to the high priest. Those offerings, those gifts, those sacrifices, in order to be offered before God. And we come back verses 1 through 5 in Leviticus 16. Some of our main characters, these two goats. The goat to be offered before the Lord and the scapegoat. And so they were brought before the high priest by the children of Israel. And so again, verse 5, he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. And so these two goats then are presented before God. Verse 7 tells us this, he shall take the two goats, present them before the Lord. And so they're going to be presented before God. And Aaron would then cast lots and obviously that choice then is made as to which one would be offered, which one would be slain, and which one would be the scapegoat. You have verse 9 that tells us, Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, offer it as a sin offering. And then on the goat which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. And so you have the tale of two goats. You have these two that are brought before the Lord, the high priest doing his particular work, especially on the Day of Atonement, where he's making offering and sacrifices on behalf of the people before God for their sins. This is something that was done annually. And so we have this remembrance of sin. The Hebrews writer would talk about a remembrance of sin made year after year continually. And so you have that connection to the New Testament as well. Let's think about the fate of these two goats here for just a moment. You have one here, verse 15. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And so ultimately, verse 15 tells us that this goat that's offered as the sacrifice, that he would die a very violent death. And then his blood would be sprinkled upon and before the mercy seat. Now, what was the consequence of sin that God had warned Adam and Eve about back in the garden? It was about death, right? In the day that you eat of this particular tree, you shall what? You shall die. And then we find that there is, in fact, Genesis 3 and verse 15, that there is a plan to save man that is going to be put in place. The seed of woman is going to bruise the head of that serpent, though he would bruise his heel. But the consequence of sin, as we talked about even this morning in our lesson, begins to be seen both in our Old Testament and our New Testament, that this is ultimately the plan of God. This plan stood in time as animal sacrifices were in place until that time would come when God would send forth His Son, made of a woman, Galatians 4 and verse 4, born under the law. The death of this particular goat also was a substitute then for the death of the sinner so that they might in fact live. And so we ask the question for us to think about, how is the grace and how is mercy seen from God in this particular picture, this act on behalf of Israel? Well, He didn't take their lives immediately because of sin. He gave them a substitute offering, a sacrifice that they could make unto God until God would make a sacrifice ultimately for them. That is the very picture of grace and mercy. And it's sad when I hear people talk about the Old Testament and talk about that, oh, only in the New Testament is where we find really the picture of grace. That's where we see the realization of grace in the very person of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. But it is from cover to cover that we find the grace and mercy of God and how God feels about His people. And the blood of this particular goat would then be sprinkled upon that mercy seat as we saw there in verse 15, there in the presence of God. And so he shall make an atonement, verse 16, for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins, so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And so you have to realize, when you think about the tabernacle of meeting, this was literally a tent that they, every time that that God wanted them to begin to move, then they had to pack all of that up. And then when they got to a location where God wanted them to camp, then he would let them know, and they would set up the tabernacle once again, this place of meeting. Let's think about the word atonement for just a moment. Literally, to be at one with God. The state of being at one with God. And so when we think about the problem of sin, as we talked about it this morning, and the reality of sin in the world throughout the ages, we find a God who has in mind a plan to save us. And it is amazing that even for a time under the old law, this was only ever meant to be temporary. It was never meant to be the permanent sacrifices. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10 makes that very clear. He could never, with those sacrifices, make the worshiper perfect. That could never be accomplished by those Old Testament sacrifices. And yet, they were in place. And in those, we also see grace and mercy of God. And so when we picture the Day of Atonement, we have it in Leviticus 23 recorded for us, verse 27. Also, the 10th day, on the seventh month, there shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall afflict your souls and an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, and to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. And so this was a day that was set aside for doing this on an annual basis, the 10th day of the seventh month every year. And so when you start to read the Hebrews letter and you start to pick up on better sacrifices, a better covenant, better promises, all of those things that are brought forth in the letter to the Hebrews, you find this picture of the Day of Atonement being seen over and over. And yet, all of those things point to the grace and mercy of God and His plan, His ultimate plan, to save us from sin. Let's look at the other goat, the scapegoat. And yes, this is where we get that term, the scapegoat. The first goat reconciled the people unto God, according to verse 20 in Leviticus 16. When he was made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forth the live goat. And so the second would also then remind them of God's grace. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 103, beginning of verse 10, He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor has He rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so again, the picture of that lamb. The second goat had a special job. He did not have to die, but he carried a very heavy burden nonetheless. And when you think about what's taking place, according to verse 21, Leviticus 16, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. It's interesting, in this passage we begin to understand what's going on. You have one goat who is sacrificed because of sin. And then you have another goat who is allowed to be let go off into the wilderness alone, but he carries a heavy burden. As the high priest, as Aaron, would have both of his hands laid upon the head of that goat, confessing, and notice in this passage, confess over it all the iniquities, all their transgressions, all their sins. It's rare to find all three words in one passage in reference to their sins, that which has separated them from God, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, and putting them on the head of the goat, sending it away into the wilderness. And so the scapegoat bears the burden of their sins and then is sent away into the wilderness, away from all the people, alone, according to verse 22. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. This suitable man that is mentioned in verse 21, who is going to lead the goat to this uninhabited land. And so he's led away from the camp. He's going to be left alone with ultimately this burden. All those sins, transgressions, iniquities laid upon the head of the scapegoat. So let's think about the modern application of this. Jesus is our high priest. Let's go to our New Testaments, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. He is our high priest. The next chapter, chapter 4, beginning of verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find grace and find grace to help in time of need. There is that very same picture that is given from our Old Testament. The picture of both the goat that is sacrificed before the Lord and the scapegoat, ultimately showing us the grace and mercy of God. The high priest is accomplishing that, and he is Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. We also find in the Hebrews letter, Hebrews 7, verse 25, that he is in fact our mediator. Hebrews 7, verse 25, therefore he also is able to save them to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He is our mediator. He is the one that is between God and man. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 as well could be added to that list. We too, as we talked about this morning, are guilty of sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 23, as well as 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Sin is a transgression of the law. It's what separates us from God ultimately. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. And so we have to understand that we too are guilty of sin. And therefore we have that need, as we talked about this morning. Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and put both of these up. Jesus, in fact, is the goat of the sin offering. He is the one who was sacrificed. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. This passage I know you know well, Isaiah 53. Isaiah wrote, "Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed, he shall grow up as before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness that we should, when we see him, there's no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, literally carried away our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus is the goat of that sin offering, Isaiah 53. He's also the scapegoat, as we see both pictured here in Isaiah chapter 53. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews for just a moment, chapter 9, verse 24. Hebrews 9, 24, Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It's appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear the second time apart from sin for salvation. Jesus is the goat of the sin offering. He is also then the scapegoat, as we see then a tale of two goats. The Day of Atonement. Two goats that are presented before God. One that would be offered unto God, one that would be a scapegoat who would take upon the burden and, if you will, the guilt and the shame and all of those things that are mentioned along with sin that we talked about this morning, carry those away off into the wilderness. In Hebrews chapter 10, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That should be Hebrews 10, verses 3 and 4. In verse 26 of chapter 10, the Hebrews writer says, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There's no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus has made that sacrifice, that once for all sacrifice. And so then he goes on to write, of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Having a picture of the Old Testament, I believe, helps us appreciate that much more our New Testaments that show us the reality of Jesus and what he has done for us. But it is so beautiful to begin to see the pattern that God has laid out, the plan as it unfolded to save mankind, to atone for the sins of mankind for a time until that once-for-all sacrifice could be made, according to Galatians 4 and verse 4. And so we find in our Old Testaments a tale of two goats. This evening as we close, and we'll be singing an invitation song or a song of encouragement for you to think about and to ponder these things. But it may be the case there's one this evening who's thinking seriously about what God has done for them. And it's made them realize how they have fallen short, maybe not lived up to that sacrifice. And that's something that I dare say we would all feel if we truly appreciated the problem of sin as we've studied it this day and seen how God has planned from the beginning to save us from our sins. Maybe that you need to repent. Ask God to forgive you. And maybe that you're one this evening who's ready to obey the gospel. If you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, would repent of sin, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized to wash away your sins, the Lord will add you to His church, His kingdom, Acts 2 and verse 47. So if there's a way that we might help and encourage you, come to the front while we stand, while we sing.